Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Dr. Jonathan Witt, who works with the Discovery Institute. In fact, he is the director of the Discovery Institute Center for Science and Culture, or actually Senior Project Manager is his title, and also Senior Fellow. He's co-written a book with a scientist from Finland, and the book is called Heretic. The subtitle is One Scientist's Journey from Darwin to Design. So we welcome to the program Dr. Jonathan Witt. Dr. Witt, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me on, Jerry.
Okay, so tell us about your co-author, who I guess this is really, this book is his story, and you helped him put all this together, you know, in print. What happened to him?
Yeah, he's an amazing guy, and it was great getting to know him as we co-wrote this book together, even across all the miles. But he is a very well-regarded, distinguished bioscientist, bioengineer from Finland. He also spent many years in Zurich, Switzerland. He has something like 140 peer-reviewed science articles. He led teams that led to patents and certain bioengineered microbes and enzymes. You know, some of it sounds kind of science fictionist. But he started out as a Darwinist and was very touchy when he was challenged once or twice with evidence against Darwinism. And finally, he heard a talk by Francis Schaeffer, the Christian apologist, who kind of called him out on his worldview prejudices. And he got to thinking, Marty got to thinking after that, you know what, I am strangely touchy when I'm challenged about this. And that started a journey for him, and he started re-examining the evidence, and more evidence piled up against Darwinism. He became a Darwin skeptic, and he became pro-intelligent design. And much of the book, you know, probably the early part of the book tells about him switching. And then much of the rest of the book is the run-ins he had with dogmatic Darwinists, the friends he made, the people he brought over to his position, and also woven into that some of the scientific arguments that he's able to make with considerable authority, because he knows the biology, knows the science so well.
Huh. Okay, so his name is Dr. Matti, which is spelled like this, M-A-T-T-I. The last name is pronounced Leisola, is that right?
Yeah, Leisola.
Leisola. Okay, and it's spelled L-E-I-S-O-L-A. This gentleman is obviously no slouch. He's a former dean of chemistry and material sciences at Helsinki University of Technology, and he lost that position, obviously. And would it be fair to say he lost the position because he changed from a Darwin believer to a Darwin skeptic?
No, he's actually a rare case of a guy that didn't lose his job for that reason. I say rare because if you've watched a movie like the movie Expelled, Ben Stein, some of these guys would lose jobs. But he, either just through the power of God, through his winsome nature, the amazing success he had, when he left Helsinki, once it was to go take another job in Zurich, at another university, kind of a upgrade. And then he came back and worked there again, just to get back to his home stomping ground. And then another time he was on it because he took a very lucrative position in private industry, heading up a major research firm, heading up a research group at a major international bioengineering company called Kultor. So he did have some run-ins. He had some events that they planned to, you know, debate Darwin and design that would get shut down by Darwinists that did not want to have that debate occur openly. But he was able to succeed.
Good.
Rare case of a guy that was very openly pro-design and was able to succeed at the highest levels in the European academic biology scene.
Well, you know, maybe there's a little bit more latitude there than there are in some of our universities. I mean, for example, I have a friend that's doing some graduate work at Oxford University, and she is studying specifically in an out-and-out evangelical institute, one of the, I don't know how many colleges there are at Oxford University, but she's doing graduate work there. And I think there's more than 20 schools, but Wycliffe is one of the schools within Oxford, and it's explicitly evangelical. And I got to meet the leader of it, and I said, has this school, he told me it was founded in the late 1800s. I said, has this school always been, you know, explicitly Christian? That is Wycliffe College within Oxford. And he said, well, there was a period there in the 1960s where we got a little edgy or whatever. And then he said, but of course, who didn't in the 1960s? And we went, you know, got back to our Christian roots then after that.
Right.
And, you know, I thought that was pretty cool. So maybe there's a little bit more latitude that one can experience in some of the European contexts.
I have a theory about that even. I wonder if there are certain parts of Europe that are so secular that when a strong Christian comes along, a strong Croatian person, they're not threatened by them because they're so rare. It's almost like an exotic creature.
Yeah. It's like, well,
let's hear from this exotic creature that's not secular. Whereas in America, you know, there's still enough Christianity, enough theism, enough pro-ID that they, you know, some of these people feel threatened and they want to. That's just a theory. I don't know what was behind.
Sure,
and being able to navigate that.
And by the way, speaking of Oxford, I mean the Oxford has been the home of the leading atheists in the world. I suppose he's still the leading atheist of our time. You know, Richard Dawkins. So, anyway,
right.
Retired professor from Dawkins.
Into the woodshed a little bit.
But here's
a loving way.
Yeah. What's that?
I said we take Richard Dawkins to the woodshed in the book.
Oh.
And I said lovingly. In other words, we take some of his arguments to task in the book Heretic. So if you want to get some tidbits to counter Richard Dawkins, because he's always being quoted, you're always seeing him, and young people are often being misled by him. Well, Heretic has some material to help answer him and other atheists and Darwinists.
Well, why don't you give us a taste, Dr. Witt, of an example of something you say in the book Heretic related to Dawkins' arguments?
Yeah, that may take me a minute to pull up for sure, but I know, you know, for instance, Richard Dawkins uses the exam, he has this computer simulation that he says demonstrates Darwinism. He says you could take a computer program that would be trying to evolve a phrase from Shakespeare. He thinks it is like a weasel. And that's a line from Hamlet. And he says, and this computer program, what it would do is it would randomly shuffle a gibberish phrase. And anytime one of the letters lined up with one of the letters from "me thinks it is like a weasel," you know, think of the gibberish phrase is sitting right over the top of "me thinks it is like a weasel." Mm-hmm. And when, say, the M in "me" lines up finally when you randomly sort the letters, then it locks in that M, and then it does another random shuffling of all the letters except the ones that are locked in. And if another letter matches, it locks that in, and then it keeps doing this random shuffling. And eventually, what do you know? Through this process of random variation and selection, you eventually get "me thinks it is like a weasel." And so he says, that's a little like Darwinian evolution. But if you think, even just for a little bit, you see that's a terrible analogy, because Darwinian evolution is supposed to be undirected. It's supposed to be mindless. It's not supposed to have a goal, a distant goal in mind. This little computer program already knows what its goal is. Its goal is "me thinks it is like a weasel." Otherwise, how would it know to lock in the correct letters? And then the other problem is, until you get at least a complete word, nothing in that gibberish statement could be considered functional, right?
Mm-hmm.
In Darwinian evolution, and this is all, Darwinists would agree to this, Darwinian evolution only selects for immediate function. You know, it can't say, I'm going to give this little creature this part of this little, appendage. It's going to be useless. It's going to get in its way. But one day, it'll turn into a wonderful wing. It has to be immediately useful, or else nature isn't going to select it. It's not going to prefer it. It's going to ding that creature for having some useless and dysfunctional and unhelpful body part. So that's just one example of
sure.
Richard Dawkins will throw up an example. It sounds superficially persuasive, but then as you look more carefully, it falls apart.
Yeah. Well, me thinks it is like a weasel argument on Dawkins' part. Okay, so
right.
here's what your co-author, Le Sola, Dr. Le Sola, is doctor, I assume, Mati?
Yes, yes.
My research has often focused on modifying proteins, writes Dr. Lesola, mainly enzymes, to function better in specific industrial processes and on altering the metabolism of microbes so they would produce various chemicals economically. More than 40 years of work in this field have left me more skeptical than ever of theories of blind, unguided evolution. So, obviously, in Dr. Lesola's life, this must have been a somewhat of a slow train coming in terms of his change of view, because Francis Schaeffer, I believe, died in 1984, and you said Dr. Lesola heard him himself way back when. And so about when did he change? Did Dr. Lesola change to somebody who believed
him? I think it was probably as far back as the mid-late 70s.
Oh.
And then there was, of course, a process of him firming up in his Darwin skepticism and firming up in his pro-ID positions. But I think the switch started to happen quite a ways back. He's had quite an extensive, illustrious career.
Sure.
Even post Darwin believing, even after that. But this work he did, bioengineering, deepened his convictions about ID, because kind of early on in this whole bioengineering movement, there was great faith that they were going to be able to very easily go in and improve on nature, because, well, the Darwinists thought that most of our cells, most of our biological information was cobbled together by this higgly-piggly, hit-or-miss, trial-and-error Darwinian process. So there should be all kinds of junk, all kinds of messed-up stuff that will be quite easy to improve upon. Well, what they found through the ENCODE project and some other research is that most of what they thought was junk DNA actually has function.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been discovering all these new layers of sophistication in the cellular architecture, in the information processing systems. There's error correction mechanisms. It's just amazing what they're finding. So all this just drove him deeper and deeper into the design camp.
Mm-hmm. When you said ID earlier, that means intelligent design,
oh, yeah.
I assume.
Yeah, that's right. Intelligent design, right, yeah.
Why the title of the book, Heretic? And we have about 1 minute left.
Well, he moved over from Darwinism to intelligent design, he would get attacked as, you know, it was almost like he had broken away from a religious movement, and he came to see that Darwinism functioned as a kind of religion. And he was treated as a heretic for not, you know, towing the line on Darwinism. So it's a little tongue-in-cheek, but it also accurately reflects how many of the Darwinists treated him. They treated him as a heretic for coming to doubt and break with Darwinism.
Is the number of Darwin-doubting scientists actually growing internationally?
Based on our experience at Discovery Institute, and you can learn more about Discovery Institute and the Center for Science and Culture at discovery.org, but based on our experience, it is growing. It's growing in the U.S. It's growing internationally. There's a new center in Brazil. There's scientists like Mati in Finland and other scientists in Germany. We have a new paleontologist in Germany. He was at a major museum there. He came out in favor of intelligent design recently, promptly lost his job at the museum, unfortunately, but
right.
He's a brave guy and did it anyway. So things are looking up in many quarters, I think, for intelligent design.
Okay. Wanted to refer people as to how to get the book, Heretic, One Scientist's Journey from Darwin to Design, by you two.
Yeah, you can find it at Amazon. Just look for Heretic and One Scientist's Journey. You can also go to Discovery Institute Press and find it. So go check it out. We've got some great reviews building up there. And thank you, Jerry, for helping call attention to it.
Sure. Okay. Thank you, Dr. Jonathan Witt of the Discovery Institute, for being with us. All the best to you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.